Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's the Recruiting Animal again, and welcome to the show. You know, the other day I got a call from Jeremy Langens. I didn't really know him. I'd heard of him. And he said to me, he said, "Hey, Animal, how come you don't have any internet sorcerers on your show?" And I said, "Well, aren't they just sissies who are afraid to use a phone?" And he said, "Hey, no way. I'm not only an internet sorcerer, I'm a telephone sorcerer too, so I'm no sissy, I'm just well-rounded." So I said, "Well, Jeremy, maybe you're not a sissy, but I can't see the point of internet sourcing anyway, because very few of the people I'm looking for actually have a presence on the internet to begin with. And if they're not there, you can't find them, no matter how good you are as an internet sorcerer." That's what I meant. So Jeremy says, "You're wrong, Animal." And I said, "No, you're wrong, Jeremy." And he says, "I dare you to have me on your show and say that." And I said, "Okay, you're on. August 15th. That's your date." And he says, "I can't come on August 15th. My wife and I are going to be on the Dr. Phil show on August 15th. And I said, "I knew you'd have some kind of excuse. What time are you on Dr. Phil?" He says, 10 a.m. Pacific time. I said, "Well, that's okay. I'm on at 9 a.m. Pacific time." He says, "Well, I'll be driving to the show." And I said, "I don't care. Call from your car. But my wife will be with me." "Listen," I said, "you've either got the guts to appear with me or you don't. If you want to keep coming up with excuses, I got people banging on my door to get on this show." So he said, "Animal, you drive a hard bargain." And I said, "Jeremy, you're one hell of a good bluffer." And that's a story. So if you, the listener, have an aggressive personality and you're not stupid, I encourage you to call in today and argue with my guest, Jeremy Langens, or me, because live from Toronto, I'm the Recruiting Animal, and this is the Recruiting Animal Show!
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Personal devils and I think a werewolf or a personal devil cursed me today because I got a sore throat. I've been sick for a week and a half. That's why I wasn't shouting as loud as I wanted to because, you know, Jeremy taunted me. He kept saying I was going to shout at him. I only shout if I have a reason. Jeremy, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, very good sound. From where are you?
I'm in Irvine, California, near Laguna Beach.
Oh, Laguna Beach. Heard of it. Anyway, so how are you today?
I'm doing well, and that was quite the intro, and I had my Starbucks already this morning, so if you can't yell because you're sick, maybe I'll yell.
Okay, you're welcome to yell, but you don't sound like the yelling type. Listen, is your wife there with you?
No, she's in the car on the way to the show, and I went ahead and stayed home and decided the animal was more important.
You didn't
than
go?
Phil. Yep.
To Dr. Phil? I thought you guys were going to sort out your marital problems on Dr. Phil.
Well, I figured a way to solve it. I just sent her without me.
Okay, well, you might not have a wife when she comes home. But anyway, let's go into a more important topic.
Sure.
Can I move ahead, or is there anything you'd like to say before we get started?
I'm just honored to be a guest, and I'm excited for the show.
Yeah, okay,
let's get rolling.
Fine. Okay, here's the big question. I hear you're into trance music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
You got to talk a little louder, okay? Now,
okay.
Most people don't know what trance music is. It comes from Goa, which is a part of India. Am I right?
Gosh, I don't even know the history very well.
It kind of, a bunch of hippies went there and they started this music, right? It's kind of a stoned out, repetitive music. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it's like a slowed down techno music.
How did you get involved with it, Jeremy? I know everybody wants to hear about this before we get on to the profession.
Sure. Well, let's see. When I started doing a lot of sourcing work, I was looking for just like background music and there was a lot of elevator music out there and a friend turned me on to this and we used to play it in the office that I worked at.
Really? How did you all agree on what kind of music you would like in the background?
Well, the stuffy people said, they didn't want any, like, rap or hip-hop or anything with words, basically, is what it came down to. They wanted elevator music. We wanted something that had some energy to it so that we wouldn't fall asleep at the keys when we're doing
yep,
internet
yep,
research.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So we all kind of agreed to
very good. I don't think I could have ever worked in an office where everybody agreed on anything like that. Now, I was at your site, and you had a band there that I enjoyed called, what was it, Rocks something Drexler? Or
yeah, some weird, I found them on some independent labels. So.
Okay, well, they've got a MySpace page as well, and I went there and I enjoyed it. I just wanted to congratulate you for that.
Cool.
Are you a hippie, by the way? Or?
Oh, no, my parents were.
They were,
right? For sure.
Everybody's parents were hippies, right?
Yeah, and the other thing with the music connection is I used to play jazz myself.
Oh, you did, eh? What instrument?
Trombone.
Oh, trombone.
Hmm. Yeah.
Starring role. there must be some. What is Stanley Clarke? He plays bass, right? Who's a trombonist that has a front role in jazz or has in the past?
Oh, long time ago there was J.J. Johnson.
Yeah.
Played
anybody
with like
else?
Miles Davis and those guys.
Okay, we'll move on. I know nobody's really interested in jazz, although I am. Okay, let me just see here. Anybody got a question for Jeremy before I go into the real heavy stuff?
Hey, Jeremy, it's Mike. What's up? What's up, Animal?
Mike who?
Notaro.
Mike Notaro? How am I supposed to know you? I'll put out a question right away. Mike, I booked Jeremy. I didn't know anything about him. And then 2 days ago, he won the SourceCon Challenge number 3. And this guy, Mike Notaro, who I'd never heard of either, he had won SourceCon Challenge number 1. And Susie Tonini, who's on next week, won SourceCon Challenge number 2. Am I right about that?
That would be correct.
What's the ranking between you guys in terms of internet sourcing? Who's the best and who's the worst?
I guess we'll find out that answer in Atlanta next
week. Well, what happens in Atlanta? Tell us.
Go ahead, Mike. Tell them what's going on.
Well, as far as I understand it, we're going head-to-head-to-head in a one-hour source-off, I guess you'd call it.
Source-off in front of everybody?
Yep.
Really?
The rumor has.
Laughing at you. You know, the queen bee of telephone sourcing is laughing at you there. Are you guys telephone sourcers or strictly internet sourcers? Jeremy does both, right?
Well, I do internet sourcing,
yep.
And then I do candidate development on the phone. But I'm not a phone sourcer guru like Maureen or anybody.
Like Maureen, okay. And Mike, are you a phone sourcer as well as an internet sourcer?
I'm actually a full-fledged recruiter. I do it all.
Oh, you do it all, okay. But you happen to be a good internet sourcer as well.
Yeah, definitely my forte.
Okay. So I'm going to start interviewing Jeremy, and you can just jump in anytime you want. And if you want to give us...
Can I jump in?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not laughing at them. I'm laughing at you.
Oh, thanks. They're really laughing at you, but she figures, you know, I won't get mad. Okay.
Good morning, Maureen. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's nice to be here and to hear you.
Okay. So now back to Jeremy. Jeremy, you're an internet sourcer and a candidate developer. So what's your educational background? What qualifies you to be a good internet sourcer?
That's a good question. I'm a college dropout, so that makes me good at the internet.
Just like Steve Jobs.
What's that?
Just like Steve Jobs.
Exactly. Well, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of recruiters I know, they didn't go to school or they dropped out, and they were either good at sales or good with people or good with technology or a mix of the three. And
that's a good recommendation for the recruiting business, right? A lot of the recruiters have dropped out of school.
Well,
okay.
You know what? The good ones, school wasn't important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Making money on the, you know, sales and that sort of thing was important, and that's how they got started. Or maybe they were in HR and they did go to school and they had an HR degree, but they found the recruiting side to be a little bit more exciting than.
Mike, did you finish school?
Yes, I did actually.
What's your education?
I have a BS from Rutgers University in psychology, sociology, and anthropology.
Okay, and so. Let me, Jeremy, I'm sorry to be rude, but I'm going to ask Mike the follow-up. How did you become a sourcer or a recruiter?
I was actually a stockbroker previously, and I got a call from a friend who happened to be a recruiter, and she said, hey, you'd probably be good at this. Why don't you come over? And I said, why not?
Well, you must have been one hell of a stockbroker. I saw on your webpage there on recruitingblogs.com that you're only 25 years old. Is that true?
Yes? No, 25, yep.
No, you've already been a stockbroker, and now you're a prize-winning recruiter. Is that right?
I've been a whole lot of things, actually.
You're only,
but yeah, that's
five,
right.
Five. You've only been out of school for like 2 or 3 years?
What's it been, 4 years?
4 years? Okay. Back to you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
So what? Sorry, thank you, Mike. What makes you a good internet sourcer? So you think you're a bit creative because you dropped out of school. That's what I got from what you said.
Sure. Well, I've been doing it for a living for a while.
What's a while?
The 90s.
What's a while?
Since the late 90s.
Yeah, okay.
I started looking for stuff on the internet. You know, I guess I'm still kind of young. Mike's younger than I am. I'm 31.
Uh-huh.
So 94, I graduated from high school. And I was just kind of the go-to guys finding stuff online. I mean, friends and family. And then in 98, 99, I started working at an agency, and they said, hey, you go find the candidates, and, you know, we'll close them. And so it wasn't even called a sourcer really back then, and that's how I got started.
So you started working at a recruiting firm, and all you were doing for them was internet sourcing, finding people online.
Yeah, and actually the first job, about half of it was not online and the other half was. I would source their database, which was, you know, scanned resumes or inputted manually.
Can you speak a little louder, or you're not on a speakerphone, are you?
Nope.
Okay.
I can talk as loud as you want.
Fine.
So the first half of that job was the database, and that really just got me keen on what to look for in a resume. And
yep.
I think that's part of it. It's not all about who has the best internet search string or knows the technology the best, but who can read a resume and understand what the heck you're looking at.
Okay, so you can look at a resume and decide what keywords are going to find the kind of person that you need. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not only keywords, but the actual context and being able to read a resume top to bottom and understand the profile of the person before even speaking.
Well, if you don't know anything about a certain kind of engineering, what do you know? I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean?
Yeah, so if there's a technology on there that you don't understand, you have to go look it up and learn at least enough about the technology to be able to qualify the resume.
An example of a search. See, my experience, as I said, if I'm looking for, you know, I'm in the Toronto area, if I'm looking for auditors, that's a common example for me. There's not too many Toronto auditors with an internet presence. They don't even know what LinkedIn is.
Yeah.
People are quite ignorant. So what kind of people are you looking for that allows you to excel as an internet sourcer?
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, a lot of people are not on the internet, and that's where people like Maureen come in and do the phone work. But I'm in technology, high-end technology on the West Coast primarily.
Uh-huh.
And so those types of people were early adopters about getting their profile out there on the internet.
Okay, so there's lots of people then on the net in a specific field or specific fields. And you just said high tech. Any other fields?
I think the sales and business development folks are out there.
Really?
The
what
web.
Kind of salespeople? Because I you might remember I was looking for an industrial equipment salesperson. I'm surprised those guys are using computers. They're like hillbillies.
Yeah, the hillbillies are not on the internet. You can quote me on that.
Okay. But what kind of salespeople are? That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure. I don't do a lot of sales. I do some high-tech marketing stuff, and, you know, if they're marketing a...
Okay, if it's high-tech, if it's people who are working on the internet, those are the guys who will have profiles online. Am
yeah.
I right?
And then you also have your catch-all job boards, like your Monsters, et cetera, and, you know, everybody and their dog, basically, has posted their resume on those.
Okay, so when you're doing internet, what you call internet sourcing includes these large databases.
Yeah,
online.
I think that you have to. I mean, there's millions of records to search through, but you're going to need to include some of the job boards in your searching.
Okay, I'm going to bring Mike in. Mike, still there?
Yep.
Okay, so obviously you are one of the winners of the SourceCon challenge. You know how to do an internet sourcing project. Would you agree with what Jeremy just said about the kinds of people who are available and the sources that you use online and when 100. Telephone sourcing is necessary?
100%.
You want to elaborate a bit, or just everything he said is okay?
Oh, I mean, I'm basically doing the same type of recruiting that he is, just that I basically base myself out of New York,
mm-hmm.
and another big tech hub, and a pretty well-networked city, I'd say. So for me, most of the people I actually can find between LinkedIn, Monster, or just even personal websites that they've hosted.
Mm-hmm.
The hillbillies definitely are not on the internet, and fortunately, I really don't have to deal with too many of them.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, on the whole, I would certainly agree with
so
what he
you
said.
Do you do telephone sourcing as well, Mike?
Mike? Yes, I do.
Yeah, is that a secret, or is it just a delay in the phone line? Because it was a big gap. Maureen, did you notice that?
I noticed.
I noticed some hesitation.
Hey, I just wonder, when is telephone sourcing necessary? Or, for instance, Jeremy, is there a time when they'll give you a search and you can't really find anybody, so you hand it over to somebody else in your office who does telephone sourcing?
No, I haven't got to that point. I know for I guess it would be kind of in the telephone sourcing space, but I know it's not as specialized as what Marine does. But I do a lot of cold calling. And I think Mike probably was thinking about that as well. So a lot of cold calling off referrals, off of people saying, oh, Joe over at XYZ is pretty good, so I'll just call up Joe. And so that's like sourcing a candidate over the phone, but it's a little different than...
Okay, sourcing, now that's recruiting a guy over the phone. Although if you get a referral, I would consider that a kind of sourcing. So what you're saying is you'll find someone online, then you'll call that person, and she or he will give you a referral to somebody else. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Let me hear your means. Can you give us the exact sort of script or standard words you use when you call someone and how you elicit a referral from that person? Because I'm not really good at getting referrals. People don't trust me when I call them out of the blue and say, hey, animal, I want to help you.
Yeah.
So how come they want to help you?
Well, I mean, I've gotten to the point where and I think you and I both agreed that we would just call the company I work for a little networking company.
That's right.
Okay, so the little networking company that I work for, when I call up and say, hey, this is Jeremy from blank, that opens the door, and it's I'm pretty
okay,
honest.
Okay, so you've got the brand name of the company you're working for. It's a big plus. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
And then the first thing I do is say, so-and-so referred me to you.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, that's not
hopefully,
it. No. I'm talking about how you get a referral from someone you found online.
Yeah. So I'm going to first mention who. Oh, okay. Beforehand.
You're telling me
pitch
that your company name is a powerful door opener.
Yeah. And then the first thing I do is pitch the position. I mean, you have to have. I think people like Lou Edler and some other trainers talk about this. You have to have a sexy, with sizzle type of a search that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to pitch them on it, just real quick, two or three really cool things about the job.
Give me an example. What do you say to somebody? Say you're calling me or calling Mike. Give us your pitch. Use the job that you're working on right now.
Okay. I'll kind of make one up.
Okay.
I can't really do the ones I'm working on are real confidential.
Okay.
So actually, that would be one of the first things I would say is, hey, Susie, I found your information online. I just want to take a couple of minutes of your time. At this point, they know I'm from that little networking company.
Yep.
They're in the executive space, so if I get a hold of them, they're actually going to talk, or if they call
so
me.
So you're only recruiting executives right now?
Yeah, primarily executives, directors and above.
Okay.
But this works with programmers and anybody.
Uh-huh.
So I would give them a couple of bullets that were sexy. There's a director for partner programs. It touches 90% of our $6 billion channel. You're going to have an organization of 200 folks. We need someone that's experienced in tiered reselling VARs, et cetera. I'd give them like bullets with numbers that sound impressive. That's the sexy sizzle stuff.
It sounds really straightforward, which is the approach I take. It's not that sexy. I don't...
90% of $6 billion is pretty sexy.
Okay. But, you don't sound breathless and frothy. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Mike,
yeah.
Mike, what do you think of his approach? Is yours similar, or would you approach it differently?
Oh, I mean, if I'm going for referrals, the first thing you have to find out if this person is or is not interested, and then you talk them up a little bit and try to boost their ego, get to know them a little bit better, and then...
Give us an example of how you would approach someone with a position you've worked on in the past, perhaps. Can you do that?
Well, right off the bat, you ask them, well, where can I find another John Smith, someone with a skill set like yours?
I found somebody on LinkedIn or in Monster, whatever sources you guys use. First of all, you want to see if this person's interested. So you're doing two things. You want to recruit them or you want to get a referral. What's your approach? Now, you are not the formal guest, so you can say, Animal, I didn't come on to answer your questions. I came on to harass Jeremy. That's fine with me, okay? But you just have to tell me because I've got you on the line and I know you're doing this kind of thing. And, Jeremy, it's fair for me to ask him the questions. You don't mind, right?
I don't care.
Okay, Mike, do you want to answer?
Sure. I mean, first and foremost, I'm a recruiter, so my objective is to find the people and ask them if they're interested.
Hey, what's your approach? What do you say when you get someone on the phone?
Well, I take a very similar approach to Jeremy's. I tell them exactly where I found them and who I got referred to them by.
Mm-hmm.
and I let them know that they've been referred to as a leader in their industry or a leader in the field, and go a little bit.
But if you know someone's a leader, you don't know that, or do you just say that to flatter them? Is that it?
Well, yeah, typically.
Yeah? What if you find out once you talk to them that they're really not a leader?
Well,
and you have to let them get down. You already told the guy he's a leader, and you have to let him down because he's not a leader.
Well, you don't really let him know that on the phone. You know, you kind of follow it all the way through, and then towards the end of it, you say, okay, well, this guy might not be what I'm looking for, but I actually have a couple other positions. You happen to be the only one that you might refer or recommend very highly that I might speak to with regarding to these opportunities also.
Uh-huh.
So you take them through, and you want to get their resume. You want to see what they're all about, because you're not going to be able to tell if they're really a leader or not just by talking to them, especially when working with developers and programmers and such, because a lot of them are actually quite shy and very quiet.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really determine leadership qualities
on
that
the phone.
Way. Yeah, or whether or not they're qualified enough for the position. So you really have to follow it all the way through, get their resume, and get to know them a little bit before you can make that accurate assessment.
Jeremy, what would you say your ratio is, when you're calling and you're looking for referrals, out of 10 calls, how many of them are going to render you referrals?
Out of 10 calls?
But just I want you to know Amy Beth is listening.
Hey, Amy Beth, how are you?
Message. I don't know if she's on the line, but she sent me an MSN message.
Okay, great.
I'm listening. I'm judging him.
Well, that's my shout out to Amy Beth then.
Okay.
Out of ten calls, probably two or three are going to give a referral. Two or three are going to actually turn out to be candidates themselves.
Yeah.
Two or three I'm going to disqualify, and two or three are going to disqualify me. I mean, it's pretty standard across.
Those are pretty good numbers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Great numbers.
At first, you never get a referral from anybody because you're afraid to ask for one. So after a couple of years, you finally figure out, you know what, you're helping them because you're hooking their buddy up with a job, and that makes them look good because they can say, oh, I talked to this hotshot recruiter. I mean, they don't even know we call each other sourcers. But, yeah.
Michael, that's why this sourcing is so powerful, because the numbers do rock like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. I know Amy Beth is listening. She's sending me messages. Why didn't she just call in and ask you those questions?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Amy Beth. Huh.
Because I don't want to be rude.
There
well,
she
she's
is.
On. Is that you?
Yes, it's
well,
me.
Ask him a question. Hold on. Is Maureen finished?
Yes.
Okay. Maureen, you take a back seat for a second. Amy Beth, ask these guys some questions. What is it? You told me that something they do is similar to what you do, yet very different. What's different?
Well, I think it's interesting. There's, what, four of us on the call right now?
This is Sources Hoedown.
We're going to break out in square dance.
What's different from what these guys do from what you do?
I don't do any phone work.
Right.
I don't get on the phones at all. Everything that I do is internet-based.
Yes. That's
it? And it's interesting to me how you can have, in this case, four different people who have similar job descriptions but do things so completely differently.
Sounds like they do the exact same thing. They do the exact same thing as me. They find a name, then they go and call the guy. The only problem is the people they're looking for are on the Internet. The people I'm looking for almost never seem to be on the Internet. The only way sometimes I get lucky, and I'd like your guys to comment on this, if people belong to a professional society that has either a membership list or a newsletter where they talk a lot about the people in the group, right? Then I can have some people to call. That's really, it's very rare for me as well.
Well, also just to interrupt and take one step back.
Can't hear you there, Mike.
I'm sorry. Just to interrupt here and take a step back, the one key difference that I would like to point out is that since I'm a contingency-based recruiter,
yep,
I actually deal with the clients also. So I facilitate the entire process as opposed to just, bringing up names or submitting them to my own company or what have you. I actually have to go find clients on top of that.
Yeah, okay, we understand that, but we're only really interested in your role as a sourcer here, okay? In fact, since I've got Amy on the line, maybe you can ask these guys some questions about how they won that contest. Did you follow that?
I did. Unfortunately, I didn't follow the third one as closely, so I'm definitely interested in what Jeremy did. The first couple of ones I did follow, unfortunately,
are you
I was
speaking
not
right into your phone, Amy Beth?
What's that?
Are you speaking right into your phone?
Is it very loud?
I can't hear you. Can you guys hear her?
I hear her just fine.
Okay,
yep.
Go ahead.
Is that
if they
better?
Can hear you, there you go.
Okay.
That's good.
That is good.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I followed the challenges, and I did attempt to participate in them as well. I can't win because I'm speaking there, but, you know, I still like to participate in those things just to kind of see what's going on with them. So
uh-huh.
I'm definitely interested in what Jeremy did because I didn't follow the third one as closely as the other.
Are you insulting Mike that you're not interested in what he did?
She probably already knows what he did.
Okay, let's start with Jeremy. What question should I ask Jeremy about how did he win that contest?
Well, basically, I mean, it looked as though there were lots of trails that you could follow, and if you went off in one direction that was incorrect, that it would lead you just out into the wilderness. I mean, what were the clue trails that you
let's
followed?
Let's set it up a bit. I had a discussion with J.D. Jason Davis about these contests. It was total miss. Like, we didn't understand it at all. We didn't know what to do. I think maybe Maureen is in the same boat. These look like Sudoku puzzles or crossword puzzles, or they didn't look like sourcing to me. Now, let me ask you that question, you guys, first of all. Were these some kind of puzzles, or were they really sourcing issues? I mean, was it testing people's sourcing ability or puzzle-solving ability?
I'll answer that, because I know the history of how these puzzles came about. And I
this
think
is
puzzles,
Jeremy talking.
Yeah, this is
the
Jeremy.
Real guest.
The real guest. But no, I think you're right. They are more of a puzzle. They're not things that we do in our day-to-day sourcing, you know, practices. Although the third challenge, well, I mean, there's a lot of different things with the challenges that you could tie back to what we do for a living.
So let's set up the picture. There was, what was the girl's name? Susie or something like that? They said, and she gave some very few hints about where you could find her online. Am I right about that?
Yeah, so the third challenge, you had to find Sarah.
Sarah,
and what we knew about Sarah was that she worked at an IT security startup on the West Coast.
Yep.
And she was into steganography, which is where you hide information in pictures.
Oh, steganography was not a typo. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Did you know that right off the bat?
Did you put that
into Google, steganography?
I Googled it.
Okay.
And when you Google something, that's research, right?
Yeah,
I figured out what the heck that was. What we also knew about her was that her boss had asked her to start networking out there in public. One of the first things we do in sourcing is we're looking at the social networks. That's what's hot right now. People putting their profiles up for us to go look at. And it finally came down to one specific social networking site called Ziggs, and that was thanks to a follow-up clue that the SourceCon people gave us. And
now, Ziggs is a resume, online resume site, essentially, right?
No, Ziggs is just like your, it's not just like.
It's an online profile.
Yeah, it's not really a resume site. It's more in the LinkedIn or, I guess, like a professional MySpace or a Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. So we went there, and that's how we found Sarah. And then from there, they.
But you wouldn't have found her there on your own. You needed a follow-up clue, right?
Well, I was checking all the social networking sites and sourcing them, and, you know, Ziggs was not on my list until they said the clue was Z, and I knew of two social networking sites that started with Z, so
uh-huh.
That made it super easy at that point. But that was
okay.
Like 3 days into the challenge.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, and then it
was
fine.
And they waited three, obviously the people were not getting it, right? So that's why they gave that clue?
Yeah, well, I think one of the ideas behind the challenge was to get people to think outside the box, right? So we were all looking at the typical places. You'd mentioned LinkedIn. I went to LinkedIn. I'm sure a lot of other people did. But this gave exposure to some of these other niche sites. And our job is to really be able to cover all the different possible sites that people might post up because we don't know what their preference. Not
so once you got to Ziggs, why was it so easy? You looked up all – how many Sarahs are on Ziggs?
I don't know.
But how did you find the right one?
I matched when I finally pulled up her profile, you know, the steganography and the IT security and all that stuff was on there. And then under her interest tab, she mentioned that she was the Challenge 3 chick. And that kind of gave it away. Then I knew I had the right Sarah.
And how did you find her boss?
Okay, so then that was another hard step. And that was kind of one of the final steps to finish the puzzle. And to find her boss, what I ended up doing was Googling her email address because I had her email address from her Ziggs profile. So I Googled it, found out she had a Flickr account, went to her Flickr account, And from there, I figured out other people that she, quote unquote, worked with. And then by process of elimination, which took a while, figured out who her boss could be, and then found where her boss lives on the internet via the pictures. Going back to the steganography, there was an IP address refracted in the glasses of one of the people, and that led me to another site. And
it sounds a little easier than I would have guessed. Maureen, what do you think?
It's easy once you know the answer, but it's hard when you're looking at...
No, but I mean, even the process, they gave you the clue to look at the social networking sites, so you went through the social networking sites. At least you knew to do that, right? That's not a hard thing to do. It's just tedious.
Right.
Right?
Tedious is a good word, yep.
Okay, and then nobody was getting it, so they had to point you to the right social networking site.
Oh, no, they didn't. They just...
They gave you Zed or Z.
Yeah, they gave us the Zed.
It limits it quite a bit, you just said.
What's that?
It limits it quite a bit.
Yeah, that made it easy to find Sarah at that point.
Now, did you have any helpers or people who weren't playing, but someone like Amy Beth, Amy Beth is an insider, she couldn't do that, but someone who was smart who was giving you help?
I did not, but it would have been nice to have.
Mm-hmm. Now, so let's
There's a lot of kibitzing that went on between the contestants.
How many contestants were there?
That would be nice to find out as well. I do know that there was even a team in India that they slept. Well, they didn't sleep, but they stayed at the office overnight for 2 days.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess they can afford to do that over there.
Well, it got some exposure, I guess.
Uh-huh. You know, I actually received an email asking if I was Sarah's boss, and, of course, I wasn't. Mike, what was your challenge?
Well, actually, I kind of – my challenge was to find – there was a resume posted, and you actually had to track down the individual who the resume belonged to.
Yep.
And pretty simply, it was just a matter of pulling out the right keywords, Googling them, and you caught a cached page, and the cached page had the, you've solved the challenge, email this place, and it was pretty straightforward, actually.
Okay, now, Jeremy, how come he won the first one and you didn't?
He's fast. I solved all three of the challenges, but the first person to solve it wins. So Mike solved it in, like, what?
Challenge started.
Mike solved it in like a minute and a half or something.
Sorry, somebody said something. Who was that?
It was me. Mike started. Mike was counting down the seconds for when that first challenge would start.
Who's that? Amy Beth? I don't know who I'm talking to.
Yeah, that's Amy Beth.
Okay, Beth. Thanks.
No, I said Mike stayed up and was counting the seconds to when the first challenge started. That's how.
Oh, okay. He's like a guy who lines up for the tickets way in advance, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike, were you surprised you won?
Kind of, because actually that night I made the silly mistake of not clearing my cache, and so I didn't actually see the challenge till 9 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And, within like a minute and a half to 2 minutes, it was solved, and I emailed, and I figured someone had beaten me to the punch considering
it had been
up for...
You did it in 2 minutes?
The first one, yeah.
Wow. And Jeremy, it took you how many days?
I did the second challenge. And that one took us 4 days, and Susie and I both solved it. She beat me by about 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then the third challenge was even longer. I think it was almost 5 days.
How many hours do you think you had in that?
Like the first day it came out, I felt like Mike. I thought, and then one of the big motivating factors for all of us was a free trip to Atlanta, right? So I thought, well, I'll wait, and at 9:01, as soon as the page refreshes, I'm going to get cracking on it. And I spent a couple hours on it the first day, and then I just kind of gave up, to be honest. And then later that night, spent another couple hours. Tuesday, I didn't do any work on it because I figured someone had solved it already. By Wednesday, I found out nobody had solved it. I think we got our clue on Wednesday, the Zed clue, and so I went ahead and looked at the puzzle again, and, Wednesday night, stayed up late, and I think, Mike, didn't you stay up till like 4:30 in the morning?
A similar pattern. I worked on it for about an hour the first day, and then once that Z clue came out, I spent probably about 7 hours on it in total after that.
Oh, so you were still trying to win the others as well, Mike, so how come Jeremy beat you on the last one?
The thing about that is, in all honesty, I was not eligible to win as I'd already won one.
Oh, okay.
So even if I had crossed the finish line, they never would have told me.
I see.
So it was just, I don't know who came in and at what time or so on and so forth, but that's really what happened with that.
Okay, so I'm done with I understand a lot more than I did before about how to solve these kind of problems. I'll just have one last question about it. What, like, for instance, Jeremy, did you tell your boss after you won this challenge that, you know, you're the super internet sorcerer and he should give you a raise or he should...
They already knew that.
Pardon me?
They already knew that.
Yeah? Okay. So,
but I did, in all honesty, my animal, I did go ahead and I sent out an email when the press release came out to the exec team here and just said, hey, thought I'd share. I won this silly contest or whatever. But they were excited.
Oh, yeah. You said silly, but you really didn't mean it. You just wanted to appear like you're modest. Is that right?
Yeah, you got to stay humble. You can't get cocky in our business.
Okay, but here's what I don't understand. This puzzle, I just don't know. I don't see how it reflects your skills as internet sourcers.
What it reflects is your ability to do, you know, internet research, to ability to navigate these sites,
uh-huh.
to have critical thinking skills, to know what the different social networking sites are, to be able to, you know, for me it was look at the string of numbers and recognize this is an IP address.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's certain things with internet research that are kind of, you know, peeling back the onion and behind the scenes, and this helped expose that ability in us.
Now, did you ever see Glenn Guttmacher posted on Recruiting Bloggers, and I think on his own blog, of course, as well, Advanced Recruiting Online, something like that, how to find a Cisco engineer. Did you see that posting?
I think I did. I know Glenn, and I tried to follow
him. He's got a string there of about, like, four lines to identify someone a specific year, et cetera, on their resume.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing you'd normally do?
Yeah, I mean, especially when I did more of the technology, you know, for instance, like a Perl developer. I know Mikey works on those guys. And when I would do that, I mean, those are very specific search strings that you would put into an engine and then go through the page results. And so you want to make it, you know, broad enough that you're going to get, you know, 20 or 30 resumes, but you need to make it specific enough that you're not looking through a stack of 200. And those IT guys, believe it or not, even though they're closet programmers and geeky nerds and stuff, more and more they're posting their resume, you know, on their own personal homepage, and that's what you would, you know, use Google or AltaVista or something for, and that's what Glenn's really good at.
So when he's looking, for instance, I'll have him on someday, but when he's looking for a resume, those are either housed on the person's own page, Or where else would they be found?
So the person's blog, possibly,
yep. uh-huh.
which you know is kind of a fancy personal homepage.
Yep.
They could be in user groups. They could be posted in forums.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. Mikey, give me some more examples.
Amy Beth, you can come chime in as well.
Or Amy Beth, yeah.
I mean, blogs, personal homepages, social networking sites, the MySpaces, Facebooks, Orkuts.
Okay, but also Orkut has it, eh? But also you're saying these discussion groups, like a Yahoo discussion group, someone might say, I'm looking for a job, and post the resume there?
Or they might not have their full resume, but they have enough that you can piece it together, whether it's their email signature that says, I'm a Cisco engineer, you know, within the email signature
yeah.
or whatever. You might identify them that way, get some contact info, and then get their resume.
Now,
you're not always going directly for the resume. You're going directly for the person.
Have you taken any training to learn about Boolean search strings, or you guys just pick it up on your own?
I've given training on it, but I haven't. I take that back. I've taken training as far as attending conferences and workshops. I'm a big fan of people going to those and hearing what the other people in our business are doing. So, for instance, next month in Atlanta at SourceCon, we'll all be sitting around listening to Amy Beth do a talk on research, and Shally will do a talk on internet sourcing. It'll be fun.
Uh-huh. Okay. But the way you really got it was to build your own skills by, just like Shally, he was the kind of guy who liked fiddling with the internet, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was self-taught, and I started teaching it, and that made me learn it better because people would say, is that it? And, or, and, but, in quotes. I mean, what else can you do with Boolean? So, you know, you would learn it, and now Boolean's kind of, it's nothing special.
Really?
Hey, Animal?
Yes?
If I can just comment on that, I think the majority of people who do what we do out there just kind of, you know, like what Jeremy said, just kind of stumbled into it, and we really kind of learned just from learning from each other, listening to each other talk, getting advice. You know, we're a very sharing community, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I would also, like, sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, as you say, I'd also like to comment, and again, this kind of goes back, but it also reflects on the discussion right now. The challenges themselves, from the SourceCon challenges, I think that they were a greater reflection of our ability to utilize our own creative strengths in an effort to figure out what direction to go. And I think that's a big thing and directly relates to what Jeremy's saying right now, how, you know, basic Boolean commands and basic boards aren't going to get you the results that you need. And I think that those challenges really showed what creative levels you need to take and how much attention to detail you really need to put in to find the people that you really want.
Really? So what if those things aren't going to get you the results you need, what is going to get you the results you need?
Again, it's creative eye. It's being,
you know, I always have to have somebody to spell it out for me and feed it to me like pudding. So tell me exactly what you mean. Give me an example. Or anybody else can help them if you want.
I mean, like even going back to what Jeremy was saying, you know, a person posting in a developer forum, a C++ developer writing, oh, I'm having problems with this, that, and the other thing, and another guy stepping in and saying, oh, this is done, you know, it's so easily done this way, you know that guy's obviously pretty good at what he does if he's able to answer all these questions. So you're, okay, well, where do I find this guy?
Okay.
And now it's a matter of tracking him down, looking at his email signatures, looking at his name and figuring out where is this guy located and how can I get in touch with him in ways more direct than this particular group or forum.
Okay,
yeah.
Give me an example.
And what
maybe
Mikey's describing is
uh-huh.
kind of this ability to lurk and then also do an online profiling project. And those are skills that, you know, competitive intelligence people use. You know, it's more than just being creative and attentive to detail. It's the ability to use your critical thinking skills.
Okay, now I get it. You'll see a scrap of information, like a dinosaur footprint, on one of these discussion groups, and you'll figure out from that imprint all kinds of things about the guy. Is that right?
Correct. That's good, and that's a good example. You know, we have to go to where the people are online that are in the space that we're recruiting for, sourcing for, and we have to hang out. We have to get involved. We might even create a website, you know, and virally basically draw people to us through branding efforts. Maybe that's a blog or a talent hub or a microsite or something. And we want to pull that community out of wherever they're at and bring them into ours so that we can cultivate them and then eventually harvest them.
Uh-huh.
Michael,
I mean, that's what the cutting edge people are doing these days is they're building these communities for developers or for executives or for industrial sales reps or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, let's be honest, even people that, you know, didn't grow up with computers, they're online now.
Yeah.
Those industrial widget making sales professionals, I guarantee you they're somewhere on the internet, you know, and we just got to find out where they're at and go get them, or we need to create.
I will disagree with you about that, but
I would disagree with that, too.
Okay, you go ahead. Maureen, the Queen Bee, wants to ask you.
Well, I'm wondering what you guys think the real number is of what percentage of people do you think are on the Internet? Let's use 150 million.
You mean their
American
resumes
workers.
On the Internet? Or
no, just people
it?
That are able to be found connected to a title. Because when you're looking on the Internet, now you guys correct me if I'm wrong, you're looking for a name that has some kind of title recognition to it so that you can pursue. Is that correct?
Doesn't have to be that's partially correct. It doesn't have to be a title. It could be a you know, a company and some reference to what they do for their
sure.
job, and then from there we can derive a title or make one up. So
make one
you know
up.
if you see Raj post about some object oriented Perl work he's doing, I don't need to see that he's a developer, but if he happens to, whether through his email address or his profile, mention the company he's at, I can kind of guess that he's not a sales guy over there. If he's talking about how to code, he's probably a programmer.
Okay, so you can call him a software developer or a programmer.
Yeah, you can call him whatever you want, and when you get his resume, you can figure out
what percentage of, let's say there's 150 million workers in the United States, just shy of it. That's what the census says. What percentage of that do you think are trackable on the Internet?
Well, Maureen, I mean, the thing to consider about that is we're not necessarily looking for just that one person or a couple of people out there. I mean, from your perspective, what this means to us is more or less you find a person, you find where their company is, and you find maybe their extension or their phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't want that person specifically, but you know what department he's in, you know what area he's in, and then from there you try different extension numbers, and you dial in and you try different phone techniques to actually get to those people who are not posted on the net.
Okay, so you're using the phone.
Oh, absolutely.
So you are using the phone.
Oh, absolutely. This is just to find where the people are, essentially, and
but
get
what
a,
percentage? I understand when you use the phone, you greatly increase the percentage. But what percentage, you know, down and dirty, do you think are out there to start with? The scratch point. You think it's 10% of the populace, 15 million?
Are you asking what percentage of people are online?
No, I'm asking what percentage of people are online that you would have an interest in pursuing. I guess that's the answer.
Do you want to take
it's a hard number, and I ask it because, you know, I see discussion about it in the groups, and people are all over the place on it. You know, people will make blanket statements and say everyone's online. Well, they're not.
Well, BusinessWeek reported that 28% of people online have tagged content. We haven't talked about tagging yet, but that's something that we
go ahead.
Capitalize
you've got 15
on.
Minutes left. Talk about tagging, Jeremy. You're the leader here.
Oh, geez. I don't know if I'm an expert on tagging, but in a very simplistic definition, it's when there's a piece of information, data, a part of someone's profile, or an article or something that's been written online, and you can put a keyword. Going back to what you were talking about, Animal, you could put a keyword and you could tag it, and you could do that about your own content that you're generating, and I could put up my resume and I could tag it Sourcer and I could tag it.
Okay, most of us know what tags are, but like, where are you tagging it on? Technorati or
anywhere? I mean, Technorati is great. Most of the new Web 2.0 stuff has a tagging feature built in.
Uh huh.
So I mean, it doesn't really matter.
And how does that affect? We're running out of time, so I want to get right in here. So how does? Because I actually, you know what? It's a bit dragged out, but I don't know about Maureen, but I've learned a lot listening to you guys today. I know a lot more about what you do than I did before, and maybe if I have a few minutes, I'll review it at the end. But how do you use these tags to find people? So if somebody's a Perl programmer, they're going to have tagged that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and Delicious is one of the leaders in this space, and it's social bookmarking is what it really
yep.
is.
Mm-hmm.
So they might tag an article or a blog post about Perl development.
Okay, so that's another. You'll look for the guys who are interested in those articles and
correct.
Tag them on Delicious. So yep. the people who would be interested in bookmarking certain sites would probably be guys who are that kind of programmer. Is that right?
Correct.
Very interesting. Wow. I'm impressed. Wouldn't have thought of that. Now, I had another question when Maureen was talking. I'm sorry, I can't remember it. Where should we go from here? I think we're picking up speed. Anybody?
Percentages, numbers.
Oh, yeah.
No, forget the numbers now. They don't have the numbers for you, Maureen.
Well, I did pull up that Business Week said 28% of people online are tagging their content.
Okay.
Of people online. Okay. 28% of those online.
Okay.
28% of people online have tagged content.
Well, let me ask Amy Beth a question. Amy, first of all, don't you feel bad that you finished university after what Jeremy said?
No, I enjoyed my time in college.
Okay, well, maybe it just seems.
I would go back if I had the time to go and I could take, you know, 3 years to go finish my degree, I would do it.
Okay. What would you take it now in?
I'd still do business communications.
Really? You wouldn't take computer programming or something like that? You don't think that would enhance your skills as a sorcerer?
I'm probably not as good at math to do a computer science degree as I would need to be.
Okay. Okay. Oh, you're a word guy. That's why you're good with these searches, right?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Amy Beth, are you also focused on IT people, and do you agree that they are really the primary people for Internet sorcerers?
I don't really focus in any one area right now because I support a franchise organization.
Yep.
So I do search in all different kinds of industries, but I would agree that more of the people that you look for using Internet research will be more technically oriented. You know, it's a question I get asked a lot. You know, where do you find these people? It really depends on the industry. For example, like both Jeremy and Mike were saying, when you're looking for technology people, use the discussion groups, user groups, look in source code, stuff like that. When I'm looking for engineering types of people, I look on a lot of industry associations because they seem to be really interested in helping to promote their members. And a lot of those industry associations have attendee or membership lists and stuff that you can go on and
you get
and
into those membership lists? And that brings another question. Do you guys use any special software to harvest names?
Is there space on there?
Pardon me? Is somebody fighting in their background there? Is somebody having a family squabble? Jeremy, is your wife back from Dr. Phil already?
No, I think I don't think Dr. Phil started taping yet, so she's probably sitting there anxiously.
It sounds like someone's having an argument, but let me ask you a question. Do you use, or Amy or Mike, use any special software when you're harvesting names or to help you find names online?
Broadlook would be a good one to use. I unfortunately don't have it. We're in the process of acquiring it right now, but Broadlook would be a really good
one. Now, how would that help you?
It's research automation. I mean, basically, their Eclipse product. You can plug in a list of companies or something like that that have links to the contact information, and Eclipse will extract that information and put it in a nice, pretty spreadsheet for
you. You know what?
Format.
I'm not sure I understand. Jeremy, do you use any of that stuff?
Everything that I do, I use to do my job is either free or just kind of standard on most computers.
Really?
I'm not into the specialized stuff. I've been a supporter of different programs in the past, but I mean, there is so much technology that's just internet-based that is just easy to pick up and run with. You don't need anything fancy.
Give me an example then. What's Google?
Google.com. It's free, and you can do a lot of research on it.
Do you use Zoom?
That's a great example. You know, there's all of these social networking sites. It doesn't.
Yep.
You don't have to have any software to run them.
And do you use
Zoom? Get a login.
Do you use Zoom?
Zoom Info. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Zoom Info, there's an example of one that I have paid for in the past, and it's pretty spendy to have access to their database that was beyond the free stuff that you can see out there.
Yeah.
And to be honest, besides ability to scrape the data and scrub it and put it into a database or an Excel sheet and make it pretty, besides that, it didn't really show me anything more. I mean, I didn't yield any results, and it was thousands of dollars, and it wasn't really worth it.
If I can insert a comment here,
sure.
The tools and stuff that are available, especially the paid-for ones, are just to help speed up the process because I'm, you know, on the same boat with Jeremy. Right now, all of the data gathering that I do is all manual. And I'll tell you what, taking that information, putting it in an importable format to go into my database takes a lot of time, that I could be spent doing somebody else's search as opposed to rearranging my data and importing it into the database.
Okay, it's like walking a few miles as opposed to driving it. Is that
Exactly. It's a time saver.
Okay, but actually I thought, for instance, if you're some of this technology, you can go to an association site and harvest all the names of the membership. Is that true or false?
Sounds like hype.
It depends on the site. There are a lot of sites that give you free access to, for example, you can go to a site and get their directors,
or maybe the
president of the local chapter or something like that.
Yeah.
Some of them give you a full directory, but a lot of them you can get local chapter directors and stuff like that, and that's what I go and do. And a lot of times they give email addresses on there for their work, so you can figure out where they work. You can go into the company website and take a look at who else is involved with that company and that particular job function.
Yeah. And, Animal, let me bottom line it for you. There's no silver bullet out there. It takes a lot of heavy lifting. It takes a lot of work by one person to be diligent and go through the tedious process of Internet sourcing. And as far as people online, I know that was a point to the conversation. You know, as the baby boomers start retiring and as this new generation of people that have been trained to get their entertainment and do their communication via the Internet, as they start populating more profiles, it's just going to be easier and easier to find people online. But at the end of the day, you still got to pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah, but don't you think that will replace put a lot of recruiters out of business?
No, because it's still a people business. You still have to call them. Like I said, you still have to bring them in for an interview. You still have to do the regular hiring process.
Okay, but sourcing is going to get a lot easier. That's what you're saying, essentially.
Internet
right?
research will get easier in the tactical approach, but in the strategic approach or the strategic plan.
You're trying to confuse me with those words? What do you mean?
No, in the technical sense, you know, before Google.com and you could just type in someone's name and Google them.
Yeah.
Okay, so like 10 years ago, before we could do that,
yep.
It was harder. You had to ask around to find out about someone, right?
Yeah.
Now it's easier. So from a tactical sense, it's easy to – you can go Google me if
yeah.
you want. You can Google the Animal Radio Show.
Right.
So tactically, it's easier. But from a strategic perspective, it's like, okay, millions of people are coming online. How do we build a community that we can hire from, or which communities do we need to be active in to hire from there? So So the strategy becomes difficult because now you have, you know, not just your internet geeks online, but you have everybody, you know, everybody and their cousin is online.
Well, so sorting through the people online is harder. That's
massive.
What you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, so you have to have a strategy and be, you know, obviously be strategic about where you're going, who you're going after and why, or what you're building that might draw an audience.
Okay.
And why.
Okay, I'm running out of time. So, Mike, do you use any special software? Are you just like these guys?
Well, actually, not to take the focus off Jeremy here, I won the Ayers Extreme Challenge recently because I had put together a tool that Google recently created called Google Co-op, which is a custom search
engine. Google what?
Co-op.
Google Co-op.
Right. It's a custom search engine, and what I had done was I re-engineered the whole thing to specifically extract only resumes.
Yep.
And it's running a Google search with every possible derivative of the word resume and every derivative of bio and biography and CV and vitae, and it removes all the words that you would not want to see, jobs and careers, and it removes all the sites so you get back pure results.
That must have a lot of resumes in it, right?
Hundreds of thousands. It's all resumes that come back.
Are you guys impressed? I am.
And
I'm very impressed.
Won that for me, but I've actually, in terms of special tools, I've dabbled with a couple of them. Talent Hook impressed me as one. Broadlook is great.
Why do you like them? Amy said that what they do is they speed things up. Is that your take on it as well?
Ultimately, yeah, that's the biggest and nicest part about it. It automates it so you don't have to spend time, you know, entering things into your database, and it makes things just a lot simpler.
And you said Talent Hook is something you like. Do the other guys, you like Talent Hook?
I've used it. I didn't like it.
Okay. Amy, any comment?
I have never used it or owned it, so I'll tell you when I get it.
Okay, no, I'm going to take a look at it after.
If you're looking to spend money on technology, spend money on databases, spend money on job boards, or you know, pay for a OneSource account or an ExecuNet or, you know, whatever it is for your field. Pay for a database. For Mike, it might even be Dice. I mean, some people have pew-pewed the job boards and said they suck, but you can extract information from there that's useful to get referrals, etc. And a lot of times you'll get a candidate there.
It sounds like you guys do a lot of what you do is what Shally calls peer regression analysis. Is that right?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So that's, for instance, Mike was telling Maureen that he'll find somebody online that'll identify the company and perhaps even department where that kind of person is found, and you'll pursue it there. Now, I had a question before we run out of time. Let's say you're doing a search and you come up with these discussions from user groups from, you know, 5 years ago or something, and there's a bit of information there. How do you find these guys? You know, all you have is really an email address.
Google them.
Pardon me?
Google them.
You think you're going to come up with them necessarily?
One way or another.
Yep. Anything else for me from you other guys?
Maybe. Well, if you've got their name,
yep.
People, unless they get married, they don't change their name that often. We do change our email addresses quite often.
Yep.
But we don't change our name.
So do you actually look people up who from a few years ago?
Yeah, if you have a person's name, it's as simple as putting in quotes into Google, and there you go, and you're off and running. And then you can hit all your social networking sites, the LinkedIn and all that crap.
Okay. And I had one more question. Can't remember what it is.
Well, I have one other point on top of that is, I mean, even if you find, you know, it's dated material and you have the company that they used to work for and the type of work that they did for that company, you call in, you ask for that person. Oh, he's not here anymore. Really? Who replaced him?
Oh, okay.
That's telephone sourcing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He integrates them both. That's established.
You know.
Here was the question before I forget. What percentage, last question, what percentage of your internet searches go nowhere?
Wow. What percentage of our internet searches go nowhere?
When you gave me the scores out of 10 before, you didn't say two of them aren't going to be successful.
Well, you were talking about people that I call and...
Okay, so but let's say you have 10 internet searches. How many of them are going to help you get somewhere?
You're going to go through... You're going to have a lot more negative results than positive. I mean, that's why it's so time-consuming. That's the heavy lifting, is you're going to go through and you're going to find yourself in a rabbit hole, and you're going to waste 20 minutes going down one path, figure out you need to step back, kind of re-examine your search, and go at it again. So percentage-wise, I mean, the majority of the stuff at first, when you're first learning internet sourcing, the majority of it is going to be overwhelming, and you're going to be going down the wrong path, but you're going to get better and better as you go.
Okay. Anybody else? Final statements? We're at the very end. I found it very interesting. It was hard for me to know what to ask to begin with. I think I have a much better handle on it. I'll have to think of what I can ask Susie next week. So, Jeremy, thank you. Mike, thank you for dropping in, and Amy, and of course, Maureen.
You guys were all fascinating.
Yep.
It turned out to be a nice little panel, and I'm glad I didn't have to do all the talking.
Okay. Take care. I hope your wife doesn't divorce you when she comes back.
Yeah, we'll find out what she's doing with Dr. Phil when she comes back. I'll give you an update.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Anna.
Bye.